I don't want to be miserable for 8 hours a day doing something I don't like just because they're forcing me to choose now what I want to do.
Actually, this is one thing that I also like a lot in product design, is because you can, even though you are working on product design, you get in touch with a lot of fields.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Can I Have It in Blue? A podcast about design, technology, product, and everything in between. I'm Filipa, product designer at Subvisual, and together with me, I've got Joana and João, both product designers at Subvisual as well. Welcome. How are you feeling today?
Hello. Feeling good. Feeling good. A bit sick.
Oh, good.
Feeling good.
Are you excited to start this project?
Very excited, especially because I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm very excited.
you couldn't say otherwise, though.
I couldn't. I made an oath that I would just be excited every episode we make.
What about you, Joana? Are you excited?
I'm super excited about this because I think we'll have some very interesting topics to discuss. So let's see how it goes.
Okay, so for this first episode, I thought it could be nice to just introduce ourselves. So, João, would you like to start? Who are you?
Hello. I'm João. I've worked at Subvisual for quite a while, about 10 years already. Since we were not named Subvisual, we were named something else, which I'm not going to touch upon on this podcast. This was like my first real job as a designer. So I made all my evolution almost by following mentorships outside of Subvisual, basically just looking at what other people were doing outside Subvisual. There were no designers at Subvisual when I joined, and that was my path to where I am now. And that's it.
What about you, Joana? Who are you?
Yeah, my path is a little bit more complicated than this. I work at Subvisual since 2021. I joined in September that year. Before that, I used to work at Utrust. That is a company that has like a product that is related to crypto payments. And actually, that was my first job as a designer. I worked there for about 3-4 years. I can't really recall it, but I think it was like 3.5 or something. And actually, like, this was my first job as a designer, but I wasn't a designer before because my first degree was in nutrition. I worked as a nutritionist for, I think, like almost 5 years or something. And then I decided to change to design. And actually, my first mentors were João and Baila. They were already working at Subvisual, but they were the ones that follow my internship. And I learned a lot from them when I was an intern in Utrust. So, yeah. And now I'm here.
What made you change to product design?
I think it was like a combination of factors. Like I wasn't really happy in my previous profession. Like I wasn't enjoying it. Like it was like a very rocky area of work. So that's what made me try to search for new things, for a new path in my life. And actually I joined, like, my degree is related to digital design, not only product design. Like I learned stuff related to like video, illustration, and so on. But then the degree that I took, it had like an internship in the end. And that's when I joined Utrust and Subvisual, because Subvisual at the time was helping Utrust to build their product. So in that on that time, I was working not only on product, but also on marketing. But that was when I really saw that product was really fun and that I really enjoyed working in that field. So yeah, that's where all it started and where I made the decision to go through that area of work. Yeah.
And what about you, João? Was your degree directly related with a product, or was it more general, such as like graphic design?
Yeah, it was more general. It was not graphic, it was digital design, just like Joanna's, I guess. But so I spent 3 years in college for that and worked on many different fields, learned about many different fields, like even cinema, which is fantastic, creative writing, lots of different stuff. And the idea, I guess, was not to leave that with a job, right? It was like you have a bunch of things you tried on, and then they started with a post graduation on web design on the year that I finished college, university, I guess. That was like the first year, so was a perfect match. Was also someone that I had the luck to work again recently, or not so recently, but like 4 or 5 years ago, on some projects, even with Subvisual, which was Tiago Pedras, which was the professor that started that post-graduation on ESAD, which is what I studied in Matosinhos. So I did that extra year, and that extra year was very focused on product, not design per se, like product entirely. We had to code as well and all of that. But by then, we already had some, you know, hard skills. We made teams, so I was already going much more for the design side than the code side by then. But it was not always the case. And in the 3 years I spent there, four with the post-graduation, but the 3 years I spent there, I was still doing, you know, the front end part of it and design part of it, while also, you know, doing or playing around with motion graphics. And I don't remember the class, but it was like a very philosophic class about semiotics, I think it was the name, you know, about the colors, what do these colors mean, and in this context, and cultural affordances and whatnot. So it was very different, nothing very specific, nothing very deep, I guess. And then on that last year, I was able to actually do something more real, more close to an actual product launch. And that's when I got really hooked on that and was very certain that's what I wanted to do. But until that actual moment, I was not sure what I was going to do. I tried to start a company with a couple of friends in Ezad, failed miserably, but still have a doll with the logo, like a small doll with the logo. It was called Blue with two O's. We failed, but was like we had no idea. I think we were all on the same page back then. We had no idea.
And you tried.
We tried. We failed very, very bad, very poorly. but it was the will to start working and doing things, and even not knowing what we were doing. But yeah, so it was very abstract, and then I started focusing a bit more with some opportunities that came. That I met on the way, and then that's when Subvisual happened.
And how did you find Subvisual?
So when I joined, was the company was named differently, and from
you can save it for the last part of this episode.
Yes, we can do that. Save a little sweet for the end. So when I joined, Roberto and Zamit were already in the company. They are founder and co-founder of Subvisual. Obviously, they were already here. It was a lot more people there that back then. There were a lot more people in the office that were not really Subvisual, were like friends, because it was not a real company by then. When I joined, it was just people trying to start a company more than anything else. There was only one client. With a very, I still think it was a very big ambitious project for a company that didn't exist and had like, I don't know, two people plus me and another intern, I guess. We were both like interns at the moment. Back then was not a full-time job, was not a contract, was nothing, was just let's try it out for a year. And then, yeah, we had that project. So one project, four people. Three of them were technical, so me as designer and front end back then, still working a bit of front end back then. And then Fernando, which was a friend of theirs and was interning at Subvisual and Zamit. And Roberto was the CEO, so he wasn't coding at all. So it was just three people. Then I mean, in that project, when I started, we were doing smaller things even. Roberto can tell much more detail what was going on. Was a lot of stuff that didn't make much sense, but it was what we were trying to do. We were trying to build specific products for specific things, like very small products. But then that project came along, and with that came Miguel, Gabriel, and Bruno Azevedo. These are all people that you all know very well still. They're still around, still working on Subvisual or with us at some extent. And that was it. That's how it started. It was like one project that funded an entire growth, I guess. And from that point on, we started getting other projects, getting more people into the company as soon as we started getting some money in. But that was it. So when I joined, was not even a company, I guess, was the will to do a company, to build a company with the right values and stuff like that. But no real idea, I would say, of what company that was or what we were gonna be in a year or two. We just wanted to start with the right values and the right mindset, I guess, but no real plan. I think that might be harsh. Like, there was a plan, I guess, from Roberto's side and Zamit's side, but from my perspective, my perception of it was just, you know, just work your butt off, try to please the client. We need the client. We need the money. We need to get more projects that pay us a bit better and that we can keep going, that can let us keep going. And that was mostly it.
But did you know them before joining the company?
No, was again Tiago Pedras, my teacher.
Oh, okay.
Roberto, from what I know, as far as I remember, was like trying to find a designer. I think they had a designer, but didn't go very well. And so they talked with Tiago. They knew he was doing the post graduation and stuff. And then he passed on to the class. But then I remember talking with him, or actually he talking a bit more with me back then, because I was reading the same book that that I guess Roberto and Zamit were idolizing, which was the Rework from 37 Signals, which is now Basecamp. So the company that's now known as Basecamp Only, which is now a product, was a company like we wanted to be. And they had this really good book, which is called The Rework, that I was reading. I was very much leaning into it, enjoying that idea, that concept. I was not working in the company, so it was really very conceptual for me. But when I got there, I remember, you know, I was talking with Roberto and Zamit and another person that's not that company anymore, but I don't remember his name. I'm very sorry, but I know his name, but not, I know his nickname, not his name. So I'll just keep it. But basically, we were talking about, you know, stuff that how I wanted to work, what I like to do, etc. And then at some point, we got to talk about the book, and I feel there was like a chemistry there that we felt like it was making sense. It made so much sense to me that I was at Porto, and this is Braga, so an internship doesn't pay much, as you know. So I was basically going Porto Braga every day for a year, and I didn't think twice because I was very much excited to work with them. And I think that's the strongest memory I have of joining Subvisual. I know some of these details, but what I remember very, very strongly is like I was hooked. I just wanted to do it. I couldn't really explain why to my parents, for example, like, what are you doing? it's like you spend 1 hour going in and to go and to get back to from work, and you're not getting much money from that and all that stuff. But I was really excited about it. And soon enough, even though we were not making that much money, even like 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years after, that stopped being a question because they noticed that I was very much excited and happy to be a part of it. And that's what I remember very, very well. It's there was a chemistry and things got along very well since the beginning.
And what about you, Joanna? How did you find Subvisual?
Actually, I can't recall call it very well, but I think it was like I said, it was like I joined Utrust. Utrust at the time was like the entire company was a table in the Subvirtual's office. It was part of my the internship that was part of my degree. But I can't recall how, if I was the one finding the company or if someone from the company got in touch, probably this last option, got in touch with the institution that I was taking my course in and offered, like said that they had like an internship available for us. And then I applied to it and I joined them. But I think it was it. I can't recall it very well.
I don't remember exactly. But was something like one of your teachers who knew someone from, I think, Subvirtual or Utrust, I don't know exactly, I think Subvirtual, mentioned that they had a student, was very green in terms of experience, but very, very interesting. They recommended that we took a look, and that's what I remember.
Yeah, something like this.
But I don't know exactly who it was.
Yeah, me neither. Sorry, but I can't recall. And what about you, Filipa? Can you tell us a little bit about your path as well?
Okay, so I studied graphic design. So it was a more general degree, just like yours, João. And then I actually studied, design in high school as well. It was more like a general arts course in high school. But then I specialized in graphic design and web design as well. And then for my university degree, I studied graphic design again. But then in between the second and the third year of my degree, it's a long story, but trying to make it short. At my university, some degrees, I think most of them, have the option of making a sandwich year. It's kind of like you take a year out between the second and the third years where you go to the industry to gain real experience. But my degree, yeah, it's an amazing chance to, you know, to gain experience and to see what's out there and to really understand what you like doing or not. Some of my friends were doing that and were finding it great. But my specific degree didn't have that chance. And I thought, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I want to do that. So I took a year out just to do that. When you take part in that sandwich year, you need to write reports and you're still connected to the university, even though you're not there physically or taking classes. And you also need to pay tuition, which is kind of, weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need to. It's slightly cheaper than a normal year, but you still do. But when you take a year out, you're completely on your own, which is also good, I guess. So I decided to do that because I wanted to have
and
that.
Cheap.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I decided to do that because I really wanted to have that experience before finishing my degree. So I went to Brazil and managed to get a 6-month internship at a branding and social media, like a graphic design studio. My work was mainly focused on social media design and helping out a little bit with the branding. And the people there were really nice. The studio was really, really nice and I learned a lot. But I also realized that I didn't really enjoy doing, branding and graphic design. So I had an existential crisis because I was like, so I'm studying this and I've been studying this for the past, 5 years, if you take in consideration the high school. So what am I going to do now? What are my options? So I started to look around at other stuff and I eventually found UX and products and started digging deeper into those subjects because at that point those topics were completely outside of my comfort zone and like a whole universe on their own. So I started to just read a bunch of stuff about it, watching a lot of YouTube videos and tutorials to understand firstly if I liked it and secondly if I could, you know, learn more about that on my own. And eventually I started really liking it and looking for other kinds of courses to complement my degree. So I've made the transition into the product side.
I was going to ask, how did you like found Subvisual?
That's actually really, really funny because, so at that time, because I was studying in London, but then because of the pandemics, well, I was forced to come back to Portugal because everything was closed. My classes were all online and there was no point in staying there because, you know, I was just stuck at home and paying, you know, a lot of rent. And when I decided to come back to Portugal to finish my degree remotely, I also started looking at Portuguese companies that were doing some work related with UX and products in general. And I remember, like, I searched on Google. I went, you know, online and searched, best Portuguese companies UX design or something like that. And I opened, like, the first link or so. I cannot recall exactly, but I think it was, like, the first link. And I saw a bunch of companies. And I eventually opened some websites and I opened Subvisual's website. And I found it really nice. Like it was really beautiful. And I like, oh, that's nice. They had some openings for some apprenticeships. And I decided to apply for that apprenticeship, which was really, really random. And so I did. I applied and then someone got back to me. I've made 2 interviews, one with Zé Pedro and the second one with João, more about the technical side of it. And then at the end, like the apprenticeship didn't work because I guess it was not the right timing to do that. But then Zé Pedro got back to me saying that they had the summer camp coming up and asking me if I was interested in taking part in that. And I said yes. So I did a summer camp that year, and then afterwards I managed to stay at Subvisual, which was really nice.
One interesting thing is like that sandwich year that you mentioned, it, like that would have saved me a few years if I had a chance to do it when I was back in nutrition. Not that it was a waste of time because I really love like taking the course, but yeah, because my problem with nutrition was exactly that. Like I loved the course that I did. I loved every moment when I was studying it, studying the topics that I had to study. However, when I went to the actual job and to the actual like reality of the job back in the day, it was like really, really boring.
Even including some internships, some courses I know that do include some internships, and I think that's great, but well, most of them don't, and I think it's a very nice opportunity to really understand if you really like working that field or not, because I believe there's a huge gap between what you learn at school and what you do at school and what you end up doing in the industry.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, nutrition has like an internship in the end, like the last semester, we usually have an internship. I think, I'm not sure if it's like that, you know, in the universities, but mine in University of Porto had it. However, it's kind of the perfect situation, you know, like my intern was in a hospital in a public health center. And it was really, really cool. Like, I learned a lot. When you go to the job market or to when you hit the reality, is that you can't, at least in Portugal, it's really hard for you to get those kinds of jobs and join, like get to work in an hospital or in a public health center. So yeah, even if you have an internship in your course, it's really hard for you to really understand like the reality of the market in that moment.
Yeah, because every job is different. Even within the same field, like your tasks are completely different from company to company, from industry to industry. So I guess you get a taste of it, sort of like a glimpse of what it could look like, but it's always it's a matter of luck, I guess, as well.
Yeah, because even if it, I remember my first internship was not in college. I was on a professional sort of three-year professional course, I guess. Was basically preparing me to after 3 years go to the market to find a job. Before Azad, before college, and at the end we had an internship. And again, that my focus there was totally digital. And the internship I got was at a police station drawing pamphlets for them. So
I didn't know that. That's an amazing story, Israel.
Yeah, that's really funny.
But it was my first internship and was very bad. Was really bad in Porto, actually almost Gaia, which is even worse. Very close to the bridge. So in a police station. So what I'm saying is you can be very, very unlucky in the internship you get and get a very weird experience that doesn't really match what you're going to get somewhere else. We are all talking, for example, like you and Joanna, you were lucky to get a chance that fitted with what you wanted or made a match with what you were, or your ambitions and your expectations, but you can just be really unlucky and have no sense of what it is to actually work on a good place, because you can hate something just based on context, based on the environment around you, not the actual work. But that's just what it is.
Yeah, for sure. The key is to keep looking. At least on my case, like. Actually, in my case, it was not just a matter of like the place where I worked was the field, because once I got a little bit fed up with nutrition, I started looking for other areas where I could like start working. And I tried some things before I chose design. I took like I have a post-graduation in bioengineering. Really cool as well.
Oh, that's super interesting. Yeah. I actually didn't know that as well.
No, okay, yeah, but because I was thinking about going to the food making industry, so I joined like a post-graduation related to bioengineering, that is engineering with that in mind. But yeah, so then I realized that probably it would be like a tough field as well, because it's not easy for you to get a job. The daily work is not that exciting. Sometimes you need to get like you need to have the luck to have a really cool project. Otherwise, you can get stuck in something that you actually don't enjoy doing. It's kind of tough. So yeah, but then I kept searching. You know, like I thought about going to several places, and then I tried design. When I joined like the degree, it was like. My state of mind was like, I will try it. If in a few months I don't like it, I will try something else. And I ended up liking it a lot. That's why I stick with design. Yeah, but you need to keep pushing and you need to keep trying new things and don't give up, you know, and be in a trapped in a work that you don't like, basically.
That's actually super interesting, the fact that you mentioned that you tried a lot of stuff until you found what really made you really happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of criticism regarding the fact that, you know, when you're at high school, well, before joining high school, people are asked to choose like a specific area. Obviously, some areas are more broad than others, so it gives you more space to just move around some area within some areas, but then you're asked to make a decision, and then by the time you're like 14 to make the first decision, and then when you're like 18 or so, you're asked to make a second decision, which this time is slightly bigger. Obviously, is not the final decision that you can make, and there's always an option to change afterwards. But then it gets more difficult with time.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you have the chance of like trying out different stuff and learning about completely different areas, you're giving yourself the possibility of just trying out in the real world and see what it's like.
That makes sense. It makes all sense. And it gets tougher with age, right? Because you get new responsibilities and you have to think things through a bit further. But I think you can always make that decision. You shouldn't give up just because it's tough, you know, and you shouldn't care too much on what others will think, because usually this is related to others. Like, you need to face it, because you will hear comments and people will say mean things and judge you a little bit because you are doing it. And I think, like, this is changing, right? Nowadays, I think back in the days where, for instance, our parents started to work, it was different. Like, you chose a profession and then you went through it and you didn't change, right? It was like, I think it's like a cultural thing. And
even
I think
jobs.
The mindset, yeah, exactly, even jobs. And I think the mindset is changing a little bit. Now, our generation, at least I think we can consider all of the three of us the same generation.
I'm a bit outside your generation, but I'm happy that you include me.
No, but we are all millennials. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
We are. Philippa,
well,
it's barely.
I'm not.
Oh, you're not already.
Yeah, there's like a huge discussion around that, but technically the consensus is that I'm not. I'm like,
so you're Gen
I don't know
Z?
The name of it.
Gen
like,
Z.
Yeah, Gen Z, I guess.
Okay, but
okay.
Whatever. Millennials and Gen Z, I think they have like a different mindset, and we value things nowadays, and we have a lot more information about it that our parents didn't have back in the day, right? So I think today people value like their time and value their happiness a lot more than they used to. So yeah, I think I kind of lost my train of thought. I don't know what
that
makes sense. Yeah.
And we are more picky with our decisions. I think ultimately that's mm-hmm. what you were kind of going for, at least, because mm-hmm. I was going to say a bit the same, but more focused on my example and yours. And most of the people I know didn't follow a traditional path where they, at the ninth grade, they decided they're going to do science and stuff, and then they always went down that road and they became a professional doing what they knew what they were going to do since they were 14. That doesn't really, I don't know many cases like that. What I know of is the cases like you are sharing and mine, which was I was studying for humanistics, I guess, so basically literature and linguistics and stuff like that, and because I like learning about that, not because I imagine myself working on any field related to it.
Yes, exactly.
I was making up possibilities because I like studying that. So I was making up possibilities like maybe I can be a lawyer, maybe I can be a sociologist or a psychologist or whatever, which is actually what I wanted to be. Or I said I wanted to be. I really didn't. When you think about it, like when I think about it, I never really saw myself doing that. It was just like I was asked a question about that and I had to have an answer. That was my answer. I never saw myself doing any of those professions, any of them, to be quite honest. And then when I changed, the first time I changed and I decided to go, you know, work for, not work, learn about, you know, basically design and code and whatnot for 3 years. I was literally like on the last year or last 6 months of the before going to college. So before picking up a real thing to study for the next 3 years, before joining or having to make a decision of what you want to study for which university you want to go to, what actual area of expertise you want to follow. I was looking at it and I was like, I don't want any of it. I don't want to do any more of this. I don't see what I'm going to do following this path. So I changed. And back then, I remember obviously getting lots of questions about that, my family and my friends and stuff like that. I think I was a bit more, as Joanna was saying, like I was more aware that I don't want to be miserable for 8 hours a day doing something I don't like just because they're forcing me to choose now what I want to do, right? So I was like, I don't know. I didn't know if I was going to like digital design at all. I really didn't. And it was not even digital design back then. It was like web right? It was like coding and designing things and putting things on screen. I didn't even know that I was going to love that. I knew I was going to, I was excited to learn about it, but I didn't know if I was going to want to do that. But I took a leap of faith, and I think from looking at it from my parents' eyes, that was crazy, was ridiculous. For me, it was like, I want to try this, you know, like I was not thinking too much. But obviously that's because I was given the chance to do it, right? I had the opportunity to choose and not to, I didn't have to immediately go to work to help my parents. I was lucky, like many of us are, that I was able to have that opportunity to try something else, right? To, okay, no, you're 18, you need to start working. I was like, I was very aware of that. Like I wanted to start working, but I just didn't want to stick to something that just because I made that decision before. And I think if you think about Subvisual and the loads of people we know from other companies in our group, most people, you know, they didn't have a traditional path. They did weird things. They experimented. And then ultimately they found something they really loved. And that's it.
I think sometimes people have like a very narrow vision of what, like if you are in a path, you need to stick to exactly what they told you to do in college or whatever, or what you are supposed to do. But for instance, I really love science, and I can see myself, and actually that this is one thing that I also like a lot in product design, is because you can, even though you are working on product design, you get in touch with a lot of fields. And I can see myself going back to that field again in the future if I work in a company or if I work in a project that is related to science. I'm actually now trying to, I found a very curious topic to learn about now, that is DSci, that is decentralized science. Just a note for you guys to know that I'm trying to focus a little bit on that and learn about a little bit more on that. But like I was saying, like you can create your own path, right? So you don't need to actually do all like what is supposed for you to do. And you can try to think about other things that you like and how you can incorporate them in your daily day-to-day work.
It's actually great that you're learning about DSci because it's super interesting. There are some people here in Portugal focusing on that, exploring that subject, such as Inês and Silva. So if Inês, you're listening to us, Joana is inviting you to a
cool
podcast episode with her just to discuss DSci.
Cool, yeah.
Send us message.
I'm just beginning. I'm just scratching the surface of the topic for now. But I really want to learn more about it because I think it has like really a lot of potential. So. And I need to understand what kind of projects people are doing related to that field. And it's really, really cool and super interesting for me because I really like science.
Yeah, please let us know when you find something interesting. We can have an entire episode dedicated to that. And actually, talking about podcast episodes, I think it could be super interesting to have an entire episode dedicated to changing careers to product design. So Joana, you can talk more in depth about that, and we can invite other people that we
need. Maybe we can even not just for people that change careers into product design, but also like just change careers in general.
Yeah, we have lots of recruitment possibilities inside.
Exactly.
Amazing. Okay. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. It was really interesting, and I managed to learn a lot about you, some stuff that I didn't know yet, which is quite funny. Really enjoyed our conversation and really enjoyed recording this first episode of Can I Have It in Blue podcast. Thank you very much for sharing your stories. It was really interesting listening to you. João, to finish this first episode of Can I Have It in Blue, do you want to share the first name of Subvisual?
Yeah, the moment I told my family the name of the company I was joining, which was Group Buddies, was a moment I won't forget. so soon. So yeah, the first name before we rebranded into Subvisual, we were called Group Buddies. Was a name that they. I have nothing to do with that name, obviously. Just to make that clear. And it was a name, I think they, because this was like a friends working together sort of thing. The idea of a company was not there yet. So it kind of was like the name that was, you know, like a placeholder that stuck around for quite a while, actually, quite a while. But Group Buddies. That was it.
Actually, it is still around somehow, because the other day, well, I think it was last year, actually, I went to like to a famous shop here in Portugal to buy something for Subvisual. So I used the tax number. And when I gave the tax number to the lady on the counter, she asked me, oh, is it Group Buddies? And I was like, why is it there still? Doesn't make any sense. But in some databases, we're still Group Buddies instead of Subvisual, which is really funny.
I don't know. I have no idea if this might have changed already for 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But for a long time, the official name was well, not only the logo, etc., but even when we rebranded, we didn't immediately become Subvisual everywhere. So we were still. Group the software as a service in many, many places. And I guess some of those places where you're buying things and stuff like that, they might have a record of Group Buddy still. It will never go away, for sure. It's like, it's just going to stick there forever.
Thank you very much for listening to us. I hope you enjoyed the first episode of our podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.